Tour Junkies.
Cheers, golf addicts. Welcome to the Tour Junkies podcast for the 2021 RSM Classic from Sea Island. It's the Tour Junkies. I'm DB. I got Pat Perry with me. It's the final tournament breakdown show of 2021, Pat. It's been a wild ride. We've got some more content coming out before the end of the year, but this is the last tournament breakdown. The PGA Tour is ready to pack it up and get the heck home for the holidays and for the, you know, six-week break that they get on tour after this event. But it's a fun event. We've been there. We've covered it as media before. We know a bunch of people down there. We like the RSM Classic, and you can definitely get an edge this week. Speaking of getting an edge, where winning starts is at covers.com, and this Tour Junkies podcast presented to you by our friends at Covers, the place where people who love sports and love to win, that's where they go, all right? They've been doing it for so long, like 25 years, okay? They serve over 20 million sports bettors annually, and it is the place where sports bettors can connect with over 500,000 members in the Covers forum, and it's the only place you can read an article in like 5 minutes from the Tour Junkies. It's going to give you some head-to-head betting matchups, the top 20 or two or three, a top 10, maybe a prop bet, something like that. You know, me and Pat publish our betting cards, but it's usually outrights, first-round leaders, etc. I talk about some head-to-head matchups in the Chalk Bomb. But this is like our published plays, and it's only on covers.com. It drops every Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's free. You don't have to join. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to do anything. Just go to covers.com, check it out. And, we appreciate Covers for helping us out. Listen, we got a great show tonight. We're going to talk about outrights, top 20s, our favorite picks, and early leans of the night. We're going to talk about the RSM Classic, but before we're going to do some other stuff. We're going to get down and dirty is what
other things.
Do. Some other things. Now, also going on this week, there's a really strong field playing over in Europe for the DP World Tour Championship, the final event of their season. And our one and only Mark Hill, our Europe Tour expert, is going to cover that show tomorrow night live for the first time. Okay, Mark's been doing podcasts every week for like the last, you know, five or six events. But live tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel right here on Tour Junkies if you're watching on YouTube. But also it'll be on the podcast stream as well. Mark Hill and our friend Tom Jacobs, another great European Tour expert, PGA Tour guy. Tom's a sharp guy, super nice. They are going to break down the DP World Tour together. So if you can't catch it live, which you should try to do, you definitely need to check that out because it's a great field. It's a great event. And those boys are going to do a great job. And I'm looking forward to it. But Pat, before we get into too much tonight, you hit another outright winner. 50-1, Jason Kokrak on this show last week. In fact, in the last segment of the show, the Covers recap, the favorite picks and early leans recap, you had Jason Kokrak, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your third winner in eight events this PGA Tour season at 50-1, Pat. I mean, you got to feel good right now, don't you? What are you drinking tonight to celebrate?
Yep, I feel really good. I feel really good, DB. I'm drinking a little beer, a little Wild Leap. It's good.
Tequila for me because my picks are, they're dancing around the lead and then they just all collapse and they make way
for
your picks.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you the mojo. I'm gonna touch you with the
thank you
with the mojo touch right there, and I'm gonna pass it over to you because you know we're good at that. We're good at that. We give each other
hands on my head and pray. No, lay hands on.
Wait, why can't I do this right? There, I pray. Yes, wait, stay over here. I pray for DB to get the mojo with the picks. God bless. So anyway, it's been a fantastic run. I mean, this whole fall has been good for me. I don't know where it came from because it went away. I had a good run, obviously, during the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
But then it went completely away. It went over to you, and then it went back to me. So here's what happens, folks. Like, you got to ride the wave.
Yeah.
When it's my wave, ride it.
It's like
when it's DB's wave, ride it.
Yeah, it's like herpes. It comes in the winter, and it sticks around for a little bit, and then it leaves. So good for you. You had Victor Hovland at 17-1 a couple weeks ago, Sung J.M. at 33-1. And in fact, even on the Tour Junkies After Dark show, which a lot of people may miss, it's on the DraftKings YouTube channel. After we record this show on Monday nights, we head over to DraftKings YouTube. We record the TJ After Dark show, which is a betting show. And you had him, you had Kokrak on that show last week. You had Hovland on that show a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, there's a lot of places people could be getting this. And if they're not getting it, it's on them. You know, you posted the betting card on Twitter with Coke Rack. You posted the betting card in the Nut Hut with Coke Rack. There's plenty of places, plenty of opportunities people could be getting it. In fact, you know, despite that, though, Pat, we managed to piss off at least one person last week.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
We managed to piss off just one that we know of. We usually tick off a lot of people, but we ticked off one person in particular, and we wanted to address that person, or maybe that type of person, if you're that type of person tonight. And that is, you know, in fact, if he's watching tonight, which I'm sure he's not, but if he's watching tonight, he probably hated that last little thing we just did where you prayed for me. He probably did not like that. But last week, Pat, we had Jeffrey. We had a Jeffrey.
Old Jeffrey.
You know,
old Jeffrey.
Women right now have Karens. If you're a Karen, you know who you are. You know what you're doing, right? Now I think for men, we've coined Jeffrey because we found him. You know, he's a troll and he's a total loser. Okay. We got an email from him. He commented on the YouTube video, but I want to show you the email. The email is rich in content, Pat. I'm going to bring up the email. If you're watching on YouTube, you know, bear with us. We're going to get to the picks in a minute.
Yeah. I hope Jeffrey's listening.
I hope he is too. But look at Jeffrey's email that we got. I'm going to read it. I'm just being honest, so take it as you will. You know it's going to be good when that happens.
Yes.
The podcast on YouTube was brutal, unprofessional, and, well, stupid. Look, comma. Who says
Wait,
that?
When you say look,
yeah,
dude,
when you say
like,
look, bro.
You mean business.
I'm like taking off the earring. I'm about to. Let's go. You know
Look.
What I mean? Look, he says, I work for a living, which means there is a limited time to study, process, and set lineups. And listening to you talk about drinking and doing so while taking up my valuable time is unacceptable. Because massive run-on sentence here. Clearly, he's not an English teacher.
It's
unacceptable. Unacceptable. Because if you called me to do a job at your home and I walked in drinking and talking about while doing so, how long do you think it'd be before you kicked me out and hired an individual that performed the job in a respectful manner?
Respectful!
I'm still reading here. Not trying to be an ass, yet want to see you succeed. I'm sure you do,
when
Jeffrey.
When you start with a sentence with not trying to be an ass,
you are definitely... I could only make through 3 minutes and really wanted to see what you guys had to offer. I don't think you really wanted to see what we had to offer if you only made it through 3 minutes. And I also think that you only make it through 3 minutes in a lot of things that you do in life, Jeffrey. Put an entry or 20 into the Yahoo golf contests. I would love to compete with you, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
That's the email. I mean, so many things in this email, Pat. Okay. If I walked into your home to do a job and I walked in drinking, first of all, you are not paying me, Jeffrey. I'm not walking into your home. You're walking into my home, our home. This is our home. We're doing this. It's okay. So you're not paying us. This is free. Free content.
You have no money involved in this.
And in
Jeffrey.
Fact, if I were to pay you to, you know, fix a toilet and you came in hammered, I would at least give you the common courtesy to see, well, hey, maybe he performs his job better hammered. Pat plays golf better when he's hammered. I know that about
him.
I do.
I totally do.
If you, Jeffrey, come into my house to fix my toilet hammered, I would at least see if you can do it. I'm not going to, like, jump ship immediately. The other thing is, Jeffrey, we don't talk about alcohol a lot. Now, we talk about every show, but we don't talk about a lot of...
At the beginning.
We mentioned in the beginning, what's the podcast juice? Yep. Check that box. We've been doing it for 6 years, homie. Let's go. And also, this is not the show... If all you want is stats, data, nerd. If that's all you want, this is the wrong show for you. And it always will be.
There are plenty of other shows with some
good people. So many other shows.
Some good people that do those shows. Good, smart people.
Not our style, though, man. Did we pick a winner last week? Yes, we did. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe. But you missed that because you only made it to 3 minutes.
You missed it, Jeff, because you're just a barely 3 minute man is what you are. But you know, so Jeff trolls us, he sends us that email. He made the same kind of comment on YouTube. I put it up on Twitter, it was hilarious responses. But you know, poor Jeff. Don't be a Jeff, okay? So then I did a video for him on TikTok. You know, if you're not following us on TikTok, we're lighting up the TikTok streets right now. You know, if you think you're too old, trust me, you're not. Pat, aren't you addicted to TikTok now?
I am addicted. Yeah. I love some TikTok. Now,
yes.
I'm a taker.
Yeah.
I don't give a whole lot on TikTok.
Yeah.
And if I do give, it's just like because DB says, hey, do this video, and I do it, and then they do all the editing and stuff like that. But yeah, TikTok's it's okay. Older people, 40-year-olds out there listening to us. It's okay, TikTok. You can dip your feet into the TikTok waters. It's actually pretty good.
So I did a TikTok making fun of Jeff, and at the end, this is a screenshot if you're watching on YouTube. At the end, I gave out some bets because, you know, Jeff wants the bets. He just wants to get straight to it. So I helped him get straight to the bets. I gave him 3 head-to-head matchups and 2 prop bets. 2 of the 3 head-to-head matchups hit, including Jason Kokrak over Ian Poulter. And then I had a no-hole-in-one prop, which was fine until Sunday when one of my favorite players that week, Matt Wolf, made a hole-in-one on Sunday, so I missed that one. But at plus 230, Brooks Koepka to miss the cut, who was also the chalk bomb, my chalk bomb, in the weekly chalk bomb email. Jeffrey, yet again, another free piece of content, buddy. If you want like to subscribe to that, you can scroll straight to the content that you want there and see that Brooks Koepka was that. What else happened? Let's see. And you had TJ After Dark. Also, we had in the covers recap last week, Pat, at the end of the betting show, had Jeffrey stuck around, he would have heard the Kokrak favorite bet at 50-1. He also would have heard my Dylan Fratelli top 20 bet at +650. +650. Jeffrey was probably sweating over, you know, NFL games all Sunday to get +650. And we delivered it there. Okay. Moral of the story, don't be a Jeffrey. Don't be a Jeffrey.
Do you think he won a lot of money listening to the nerdy stat guy that he liked that week? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, man. Spaz Bite, that's funny. Only the real studs play Yahoo. Yeah. I'm not gonna go to Yahoo and even follow Jeffrey around. Jeffrey, come to DK. Put your big boy pants on. Let's do some DK if you want to do DFS. But, you know, again, we're never going to be the show that just gives you the data and then gets out of here with no fun. That's not fun for us, and we doubt it's fun for you, which is fine. If you just want to get straight to the data, nerd out, do it, baby. Join Fantasy National and nerd out there. Don't be a Jeffrey. It's my Jeffrey juice right here. It's my Jeffrey juice tonight.
I'm going to do my job.
Casamigos and soda with a splash of orange, Pat.
I didn't even know for all these years that I had to adhere to normal job regulations.
You have to be a professional here, Pat. This is a betting podcast with a squirrel mascot.
I didn't even know.
Jeffrey, it's a squirrel mascot. We didn't even talk about that. Like, what? It's a squirrel mascot. Do you think we're going to be serious stat guys with a blind squirrel mascot that looks like a everything but a squirrel?
I can't even drink in my own home, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Jeffrey says, I cannot drink while I'm doing a show with my friend.
Well, on a Monday, we probably do 3 hours of prep time for this show. And then between the DFS show, the betting show, and the DraftKings After Dark show, another 3 hours of recorded content. And then about an hour to publish everything. So, Jeff, are you telling me that I can't have a little tequila and talk about it for a second? I can't do that, buddy, because you're going to get all out of whack and want to quit on us, buddy? Shh, bro. Producer Sam, is his Jeffrey juice tonight is Tito's and apple juice. I've never even heard of that.
I never even. We've gotten a lot of emails in the day, but that one... Good for Jeffrey. By the way, props to Jeffrey for doing that.
And I will also credit us, too. We get a lot of emails with feedback. And 90% of those emails that come in, you know, respectfully and in good spirit, like genuinely wanting to help us out, like we embrace it. We do it. A lot of the stuff we do now is because we've gotten feedback. Every year we ask for listener feedback. We did that just recently. And we take it to heart. When you come like that, dude, just stupid, just dumb. I mean, is Jeffrey an island boy? What if that was really one of the island boys? All right, we gotta
move on.
It's the RSM Classic. It's 2 golf courses. It's 150 players. Top 65 and ties make the cuts. The Seaside course. It's the Plantation course. They're going to play the Plantation course once, either on Thursday or on Friday. They're going to play Seaside the other 3 rounds if they make the cut. And let's see. Plantation's a par 72. Seaside's a par 70. Bermuda grass, greens, all over the place. Fast. Typically firm. The defense on this course is wind. If it gets windy, which right now it's looking like it will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, especially on Seaside. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday are looking windy. You're going to want to pay attention to that. It could play much tougher. In 2020, it was like that. And I think Tyler Duncan won it even par. I don't think it's going to be that bad. But For the most part, these are two pretty easy courses.
No, Tyler Duncan was 19 under.
Oh, was he 19 under? What am I thinking? Somebody won in a tough year.
You think it was like U.S. Open?
Maybe I was. Maybe I was, it's too much Jeffrey.
I think
Juice.
You're thinking about the. What's that course down the road from here?
Oh, Congaree.
No, we're filming Kiowa. You're thinking of Kiowa. This ain't Kiowa.
Yeah. Anyway, what else, Pat? I will say this: Don't get caught up in thinking the Plantation course is so much easier than the Seaside course. We talked about this ad nauseum on the DraftKings preview. If you want to check that out, we're going to be talking about the Nut Hut. There could be some wave advantages, but maybe not.
By the way,
not.
DB,
mm-hmm.
You just said ad nauseum.
Did I?
Is it ad nauseum or is it ad?
I think it's ad. Ad nauseum. Oh, no, it's ad. I don't know.
Is it ad or ad?
Ad. Oh, Sam.
Sam says ad.
I was right.
Okay.
You were wrong.
I was just wondering. You said it. I was just wondering. Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it. Anyway, moving on. Look, Plantation. Another thing about Plantation, you do have it being a par 72. You got four par fives there. Three are reachable and two. So I think they're, you know, potentially it's the one course that they should score on. But like you're about to say, or you were saying, it hasn't really been the case the last couple of years. Yep. Now, I do think a lot of that is because it was redone. The greens were harder, and they kind of soften up as you move along here, and they get a little age to them. So I think Plantation could end up playing a little easier this year than it has. But so far, we have not seen that.
No.
We have not seen that.
They've basically played the same in the last 2 years. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about your betting card or when you're thinking about a wave advantage or whatever. Yeah, they've basically played the same the last few years, though. All right, Pat, let's get into this. We talked about a lot of names on the DraftKings show, but there was actually a lot of agreement. So we're kind of feeling a lot of the same guys here. And I'm thinking if we start at the top, there was at least some agreement on these guys in terms of DFS. We'll see what you think here. Starting at the top with the favorites up to 25-1. I think these are, I'm probably not going to mention these in the favorites section at the end because I don't like to bet these shorter numbers, but if you are that kind of person that you like to bet the shorter numbers, maybe you got a nice large bankroll you like to play with, or you just really dig in these shorties. Louis at 20-1 on points bet and Henley at 25-1 on points bet are values. They're both shorter on DraftKings. Well, actually, Louis shorter on DraftKings. Louis 16-1 on DK, 20-1 on points bet. And I think you jump on that points bet number before that's going to shrink for sure. Now, can Louis win on the PGA Tour? God knows. Like, who knows? But, you know, Pat just talked about it on the last show. Nobody thought Kokrak was ever going to win. And then he finally does. And now he's won three times in a year. So it could happen. All right. It could totally happen. Louis checks a lot of boxes. Great total driver, very accurate off the tee, plenty long, plays good in the wind, one of the best putters on tour in 2021. Not much of a record to speak of here, but I don't think, you know, I do think course history matters at Seaside or at Sea Island, but with a guy like Louis, I just think you can forego the lack of history. And 25-1 for Russell Henley, just as good as Russell Henley's playing right now. The ball striking, the iron play is as good as it's been. I mean, he's been very solid with that all year and consistent. He's hitting a lot of fairways, and Bermuda is far and away his best putting surface, and he's coming in good form. He's got a couple good tournament years here at Sea Island, coming off the T7 last week at the Houston, and a good start to the new 2021-2022 season. So Henley for me at 25 and Louis at 20 are probably... You know, Henley could stay at that 25-1 number, but I definitely see Louis getting shorter, maybe even by the time the show is published on, like, iTunes tomorrow or something, Apple, whatever.
Okay. I like them both. Usti is one that I love at 20-1. I think that's a great number for him. Another guy, and I'm okay with Henley. I think that's perfectly fine. Another one I like, though, is Corey Connors. He is at 25-1. Connors is always, everybody talks about his putting is a struggle and scrambling is a little bit of a struggle, but everything else is fantastic for this course. I mean, he is in control of his ball and always off the tee, ball striking, approach, everything. Corey Connors is just one of those guys that I think is a great course fit here. I mean, you look at his course history as well. I mean, he had a top 10 here last year, T23 in 2019, T37 the first time he played here in 2018. So I like Corey Connors at that 25-1 number. Now, a guy that we did not mention on the DK show for DFS picks, mm-hmm. but I think is interesting, is Harris English. 25-1. Well, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Why not Harris English? I mean, you know, you look at the stats for him.
Sea Island Mafia. Sea Island Mafia member.
Yeah, Sea Island Mafia. I mean, literally across the board, you know, checks the box and scrambling, approach, ball striking, putting on Bermuda. You know, his history here has been spotty, but he did finish top 10 last year, which is probably the best year to look at if you're going to be going off of course history. When you look at the both courses, Plantation and Sea Island together, or Plantation and Seaside together. So he did finish T6 last year as well. You know, I know his form has not been all that great lately, but, you know, Harris, I thought Harris played pretty well in the Ryder Cup. And then, you know, we saw the miscut at the Shriners, the withdrawal at the CJ Cup. But I do like Harris English there at 25-1. So there you go.
Yeah, and I mean, when he missed the cut at the Shriners, he lost 6 strokes putting, which just does not happen for Harris English. This is obviously a course he's very familiar with. He plays great in windy conditions. I do think Harris is interesting, and maybe we should have talked about him in DFS. Maybe some people are going to be off of him in DFS too. So 25-1 is interesting. I mean, Henley's quite familiar with this place as well. Both guys at 25-1. If you had to pick one, I might rather have Henley just for the more recent solid form. We kind of, you know, feel like we know what we're getting a little bit more with him, but English can definitely close the door and win it here. We didn't talk about this guy, but a guy I think I'd stay away from, I mentioned on the DFS show, is Webb. And I know Webb's, you know, everybody's going to talk about the course history here. He does have a couple top fives, a runner up a couple years ago, T3 before that. But out of 6 times playing here, he's only had a top 10 or top 10 3 times out of 6. The other 3 times, he's not been great. And the thing to me about Webb is he really going to win in basically his 15th event since the Masters? Like, he just is not playing a lot. And I don't know what that says about him. Like, I just don't know that he's ready to close the door. So for an outright bet at that short a number, I mean, he's 12-1, I think.
He's 12-1 on most of the sites I'm looking at in that range.
I mean, if you're going to go that short, then I would much prefer Scottie Scheffler at 11-1.
Absolutely. I totally agree there. I just don't see Webb being worth any of your dollars at all.
No.
Unless you like want to do a top 10 or something. But other than, I don't even know if I like a top 10.
I don't. No, I don't. Yep. So I'm out on him. What, is there anybody else in this range we need to talk about from a, no, I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered almost everybody. All right. Getting into the mid-range. Well, before we do that, you know, we do talk about Kraken a lot. Our friends at Kraken, the cryptocurrency app that you need to get if you're into crypto. And if you're not into crypto, come hop aboard with us. We are. We love it. It's fun. We talk about it in the Nut Hut. There's a channel for it in the Nut Hut. It's popping off all the time. So if you're interested in investing in cryptocurrencies, but you're not sure where to get started, check out the Kraken app. You can buy over 50 of the most popular cryptos like Bitcoin, Dogecoin, Shiba. Ethereum, 24/7. It's really easy to get started. Just download the app, create your account. You're investing in minutes. And even though Bitcoin's like $65,000 right now, you can get started for as little as like $10. You can buy some on Kraken. Dip your toe in, see what's up. Although if you just had $10, like I probably wouldn't buy Bitcoin. I would buy something else. This is not investment advice, but maybe some Shiba or something else.
Some Shiba.
Come up in the crypto channel in the Nut Hut.
Came up with Shiba?
We'll straighten you out.
I want some Shiba. I don't know
I got
why.
Some.
I just like the name Shiba.
I got some. One of the coolest things about it, too, is these guys have been doing it 10 years. 10 years. That's a long time. You guys couldn't even spell crypto 10 years ago. You didn't even know what that meant. If I'd have said crypto, you'd have thought that was the planet Superman.
I wish I did.
True. You thought that was from where like Superman was born. You didn't even know. But the Kraken was doing it. So visit kraken.com/tourjunkies, KRAKEN, or just search the Kraken app in the App Store. We appreciate them for hooking it up.
Wait a second. Where was Superman born?
Kryptonite? I don't know.
Kryptonite. That's
Krypton.
No, that's
Krypton.
Like what hurt.
Is it Krypton?
Yeah.
See, I knew it was close.
See, but what was that icy area that he went to? What was that called?
I don't know, man. This, you're getting too nerdy for me.
Sam knows it. I know Sam knows. The icy area that he went to, there was a name for it where, like, ice is popping up everywhere.
I don't know. We're getting too out in the weeds for Jeffrey.
The Fortress of Solitude, is that what it was?
That sounds like a...
I thought it was going to be cooler than that.
Yeah, that was a really weak name, whoever came up with that. All right, mid-range up to 75-1. Pat, who you like here?
All right, a few guys here that I like. You know, and some of these I didn't mention on the show, on the DFS show. Taylor Gooch, 35-1. We just seeing Taylor Gooch play extremely well lately.
What happened to him last week? What did...
He
started off so good.
Golf happened to him, which is what happens. Golf happens to people, and it happened to Taylor Gooch, and he finished 60th, but he was having a good week before that. But you look at his last few starts, yeah. T11 in Mayakoba, T5, CJ Cup, T11 at the Shriners. I think Taylor Gooch is just right on the verge of possibly getting a victory, and I like him there at that number at 35-1. A couple other guys that I like in here. We mentioned Brendan Todd on the DFS show. I like him at 60-1. I like Mackenzie Hughes also at 60-1. I think that's a good number for him as well. So I think those are two good numbers there. Another guy that I think is just under the radar that I don't think anybody's going to have, that I just feel like could have a good week. And I know he's going to scare a lot of people, but Adam Scott at 35-1. I like that number too.
I know. 35-1. I mean, I think Sea Island being one of those courses where you got to have a little local knowledge. You know, I mean, Adam's got none of that. I don't know. I don't think I can get down with Adam Scott to win outright. You almost talked me into him on the DFS show, but to win outright, I don't know. Kind of scary.
I don't know. I saw that's one thing I see on TikTok. They do that. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think I've seen that. Who's doing that? What's the... All right.
Send it to me.
Total agreement on the Brendan Todd play. 60-1. I have that written down. I like that one. We talked about Kiz a little bit on the DFS show. Kiz at 40-1. I just think, you know, I think he lost in the playoff to freaking Robert Streb last week. Last year, Robert Streb, wasn't he in the rough? He had like some nasty lie in the rough. He hit it like a foot and a half, and there was nothing Kiz could do at that point.
Yes.
It really pissed us off. We had Kiz on the betting card, had him bet. That was terrible, terrible, terrible. We know our boy Kiz has been working with JT, John Tillery, at his place at Cuscawilla just a couple weeks ago, prepping for this event, getting ready. This is an event he has to make his money on. He knows that there's certain events on tour he's got to make it happen, and this is one of them, a place he's rather familiar with. I don't know that I'll play him in DFS for popularity, value, kind of. I do think there's a miscut potential, but I think Kiz is a great boomer bust play here. So 40-1 to bet him outright, I think I'll do it. And I think that number is going to get shorter. I doubt we'll see it stay the same or get longer. So 40-1 on points bet is the best number for Kiz. And I got one more in this range I didn't talk about on the DraftKings show either, Pat. A guy that, you know, when you think about the prototypical player here, it's a guy like Chris Kirk, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I like Chris Kirk at 50-1. You know, he checks some boxes. Now, his form recently, he's making a lot of cuts. I guess his best finish recently is a 14th at the CJ Cup. But we saw him with some top fives, you know, earlier this year, playing well. You know, his history here is pretty awesome. He won here, like in 2013 or whatever it was. He's got another couple fourth-place finishes here, 18th last year. This is a course that definitely suits Chris Kirk. You know, accuracy, hits a ton of fairways, hits a lot of greens, can make some putts and get really hot. 50-1. He feels a little bit like that Kokrak feeling last week. You know, it's like the form wasn't incredible coming in, but it just, he fit. Like the player that Chris Kirk is just kind of fit. So I like him in that range as well. All right, moving on up to the, you know, kind of up to that 125 range, Pat. I don't have too many here that I like. I think one that you and I both would agree on would be Adam Long at 90-1.
Absolutely.
Yep. He's improved every time he's played Sea Island. Went from miscut, then he went to T35, then went to T30 last year. Adam Long's improving, and he's also trending nicely in terms of form. 25th at the Zozo, 22nd at the Mayakoba, and 11th just last week at the Houston Open. And Adam Long's a guy who hits a ton of fairways, makes a lot of putts, doesn't get himself in a whole lot of trouble. But I think Adam Long is interesting at 90-1. And another name I didn't mention on the show is Aaron Rye. He's also at 90-1. And I saw that number and I was like, you know, now here's a guy who hasn't played here before, but also trending nicely. T19 last week, T15 at the Mayakoba, has won in some windy conditions on the European Tour. Hits a lot of fairways. Ball striking is good. It all comes down to the putter for Aaron Rye. But if this weather forecast holds up, I really like his ball striking ability here. So Aaron Rye's one to watch at 90-1. And then I'm somewhat tempted by Troy Merritt at 80-1.
Ooh,
just
wow.
feels like another, you know, accuracy, make some putts kind of guy. Good on Bermuda surfaces. If you look long-term or short-term, Troy Merritt can get it done. He's a winner on the PGA Tour. He doesn't sound like a guy. I mean, if I gave you the name Troy Merritt, you'd be like, no, that guy's definitely never won anything. But he has. He's won on the PGA Tour. 15th at the Mayakoba the last time he pegged it. So I think he's interesting, and that's probably it for me in this range.
All right, well, I got a few guys here that I like here.
Troy Merritt, Amish Mafia.
Thank you, right. I'll start with Brandon Grace. I like him. He's at 80-1. You know, he's a guy that's had kind of a secret,
year.
Secret.
He real stop. Secretive. Brandon Grace, real secretive.
He's secretive.
You
he's
walking down the street, Brandon Grace whispering in your ear, "Hey, I'm having a good year."
He's wearing a disguise.
He's saying, "Hey, Pat, I like it kind of windy. I like it when it's windy. When it's windy."
He can play in the elements. He putts well in Bermuda grass greens. He's a great scrambler, good on approach. I think Brandon Grace at 80-1 is a pretty good number there. Also like Patrick Rogers at 80-1. He's a guy that's played well here in the past. He's got very spotty history. I mean, it's as spotty as it gets. I mean, when he does well, it's awesome. He's in the last 5 years, he's got a second place and a top 10. He also has 3 miscuts.
I had to throw up in my hat.
Yeah, so Patrick Rogers is one of those that you're going to have to, if you want to play him, hold your nose, put a little money in there, and just hit the submit button. But I do think Patrick Rogers has a chance to do well this week. You know, I'll talk maybe about him in the top 10 or something like that here later. But I do like him at 80-1. Another, you know, guy that I just have to mention, and that is because I just think that the number could be it almost feels too good to pass up. And that's Emiliano Grillo at 100-1. I mean, he's a guy that's a great ball striker, you know, great on approach, you know, just a good, solid, consistent swing. I think he obviously sucked putting. His scrambling isn't all that great. But Grillo at 100-1 feels like one of those numbers that I'm going to have a hard time passing up. And maybe I don't do it 100-1. Maybe I look at a top 10 or a top 20 or something like that. But at 100-1, I think that's just something that's hard for me to pass up. So there you go. Those are up to that range that you were.
I think if this wind continues to hold up and we think that the winning score is not going to be, you know, 18 under, I like Grillo a little more. I just don't know. Like if you really got to go low, I don't trust him to make the putts. You know, like, he is such a good ball striker. But, man, you just can't trust him to make the putts. All right, bombs over 125-1, Pat. I got a bushel of bombs right here that I really do think that all—
A plethora?
No.
Do you have a plethora of bombs?
No. I have a bushel of bombs, and I think that all five could. I'm going to give you five. I'm going to do it quickly. I think all five could win. I really do, or I wouldn't be giving them to you.
I don't have this many, so I'm glad you're doing this because I only have like
3 guys at 130-1, all on DraftKings, all longer on DraftKings and on PointsBet. Denny McCarthy, Adam Schenck, Chad Ramey. I think we both like probably all 3 of those guys. Definitely Ramey is the Korn Ferry Tour guy that's coming out pretty hot so far this PGA Tour season. If you looked at what he did really well on the Korn Ferry Tour, it's perfect for Sea Island. Absolutely perfect for Sea Island. Adam Schenck has come close. He's come close to winning his first PGA Tour event this season, or in 2021, and recently in this season, I believe, one of the first events. He's knocking on the door. He's a great putter, as is Denny McCarthy, coming off a good finish last week at a course that he really had no business finishing well on. It was a bomber's paradise. I said he wouldn't do well, but he did. You said he did. You said he would, and he did. Finished T11. 130-1, great putter. This is an even better course for him. He comes in hot form. You know, guys like the names I'm going to give you here, they have to have a good week. Like, they need to keep this momentum going and take advantage of a course like this. And I think those three guys could possibly do it. The last two are bombs at 150-1, and you can get them at 150-1 on DraftKings or PointsBet currently. Stefan Jaeger is the first one, Korn Ferry Tour grad. You know, a lot like Chad Ramey. Hit a lot of fairways, hit a lot of greens, made a lot of putts, scrambles really well, good grinder, you know what I mean? And he's familiar with Sea Island, 150-1, and he's the winningest player on the Korn Ferry Tour. The guy can close the door if he gets involved. If he gets involved late on a Sunday, he can get it done. Another guy who may surprise a lot of people, but he is a PGA Tour winner, and he's got a boring name, and he looks boring, but it's Michael Thompson at 150-1. We're hearing that Michael Thompson is hitting it very nicely right now, and he showed it a couple weeks ago at Mayakoba, finishing T15. I like Michael Thompson as a potential outright bomb here as well. Got a couple decent finishes here, so that's it for me.
Okay, I like those. A couple for me. I think Harry Higgs at 130-1 is a little bit interesting there for him. You know, great putter, great scrambler. I think this is a good course fit as well. I like Davis Riley, also a Korn Ferry grad who, you know, before we had the Will Zalatorises and the Taylor Pendrifts of the world, Davis Riley was the hot guy. And he has been playing, you know, fairly well recently in his starts that he's had on tour. So I like him at 150-1. So there you go.
Okay. All right. I like it, Pat. I like it. So how about top 20s? Any top 20s, top 10s?
Well, I'll start with a few top 10s that I like. I like Patrick Rogers. I mentioned him as an outright. He's at 6-1 to finish as a top 20. I like Grayson Sig as a top 10. I think that's a good number for him, for Sig. He's played, you know, this is the one tournament. Like, Sig, if anybody remembers, you know, when he was first kind of coming out of college, he got starts in this tournament. It's kind of like Davis Thompson at Georgia.
Yeah.
Grayson Sig was kind of the same. It was before Davis Thompson. And so he's played this course a lot. He's got a lot of experience here. So Grayson Sig at 6-1, I think, is a top 10.
Let me ask you this. Your life depends on it, Pat. You have to hit one. You have to hit one top 20. So basically, your
top 20
favorite,
or top 10?
Top 20. Your favorite top 20. So this probably doesn't need to be an 8-1 guy. Like, you got to hit one. Like, last week I gave you one. It was Aaron Wise. He just freaking missed it. But you got to hit this one top 20. Who would be your favorite top 20 on the board?
If I got to hit one top 20 and I can only pick one, I would go with, and it's not about how much money I can make. It's just like,
it's
he's
like,
going to finish top 20.
Yep.
I go with Russell Henley.
Oh, okay. Where's he
I mean,
at?
If it's not about money,
no,
plus
yeah, yeah.
125.
No, I know.
I mean,
yeah, plus 125. It's a plus number. Yeah, I guess I would have said the only other caveat's got to be a plus number. Forget Scotty Scheffler, minus 140.
I wasn't going to do that. But, I mean, I got to get plus money, but I got to take a guy that I think is going to finish top 20 for sure. Yeah.
I like
absolutely.
I like that.
A few other top 10s. You know, how about Kramer Hickok?
Yeah, he's playing well.
He's playing well. Top 10s, 14-1. I like that number. Also, a couple other guys that you know, one we mentioned, Adam Long, is 7-1 for a top 10. And Henrik Norlander is 8-1 for a top 10. And Norlander's, you know, this is a course where he's played well on before. He's got a lot of experience on as well. So there you go. Those are some top 10 numbers. I'll let you give out either top 10s or top 20s, and then I'll throw in some top 20s that I like. So,
You know, let's just skip to our favorites. Let's just do that. I just want to do that. I think I think I got to narrow it down because I'm looking at too many numbers right now. A lot's going to depend on the weather wave. A lot's going to depend on all that stuff. So let's just get down to it. Our favorite picks and early leans presented by covers.com. So the names that, you know, we say a lot of names. Who are our favorite outrights? Who are our favorite top 20s or other or top 10 bets if you got them that we think you need to jump on right now? Let's do it. I think Louis at 20-1 on points bet you should get on right now. Or if you can find it longer somewhere else, that's fine. I'll also go with Kiz at 40-1 with the caveat that he's probably either gonna be in the hunt late on Sunday or he's gonna be trunk slamming on Friday. One or the other. Okay. So I like Kiz. Brendan Todd at 60-1 is definitely a favorite of mine right now. And then I guess I'll kind of wait and see on some of these other guys. But I do think the Denny McCarthy number, there's a gap there. He's 130-1 on DraftKings, but he's 90-1 on points bet. And I think he's probably better suited down in that 90 range. So he's a value right now on DraftKings at 130-1. I think you should jump on that. And then I got a few top 20s that I think are my favorites. I think Brendan Todd at plus 250 is one of my favorite top 20 bets on the whole deal. He just checks the box. He loves Sea Island. This is a great course for him. He's playing well, just coming off a good finish. Adam Long at plus 350. If we're starting to get into that long shot range in terms of a top 20, you know, Adam Long's playing great, putting great. We like him. And then when I start going real far out here, Michael Thompson at 5-1, I'm going to go ahead and jump on. You can tell I'm a believer in Michael Thompson this week. I never thought that in all of our years of doing this, I would be this hard up on Michael Thompson for a week, but I am. So those are my favorites. I think those are my favorite picks so far on a Monday night and early numbers I think you should jump on.
Okay. Well, you stole a few of mine, but I'll piece together a few here. Corey Connors at 25-1. I just love that number. I love that number for Corey Connors at 25-1. He's a guy that's just been on the cusp all year long. I love his ball striking and approachability and his, just how this is.
Approachability meaning like he's easy to talk to or his approach play?
Approach play.
Okay.
His approach play. He's great with his irons. We know that about him. He's just got to make some putts drop. So I like Corey Connors there at 25-1. I was with you on Brendan Todd. That was going to be one of my plays. So I'll switch up a little higher. I love Patrick Rogers at 80-1. I think it's a good number for him. And I also will go Patrick Rogers at top 10 at 6-1. I mean, that's a favorite play of mine. I think Rogers is going to have a big week. I'm all in on him this week. And if I'm going with a few top 20 numbers, I think that,
you know, it's late in the year when we're all in on Patrick Rogers and Michael Thompson.
Yeah, it is late. Yeah, it's late. A few top 20 numbers though, that I really like, Grayson Sig at plus 330. I think that is a great number for him as a top 20, and Brandon Grace also at plus 330. And you already mentioned Adam Long, I think, right?
Yep.
As a top 20 plus 350. So those are my favorites right there.
There you go. The favorite picks and early leans presented by Covers. Check it out, covers.com. Winning starts at covers.com. All right, Pat. Well, I think that about buttons it up, buddy. The last tournament preview of 2021. I'm excited, man. We'll have our 2021 recap podcast and the Golden Golby Awards presented to players and listeners of the Tour Junkies. I'm pretty sure Jeffrey will not be getting an award. Well, he probably will, but it probably won't be an award that he'll want. And then we've got the look ahead preview for 2022. Go ahead and leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube, your favorite moment of 2021, or a question you'd like us to answer in the 2022 podcast. We'll drop that out here pretty soon. And thumbs up, hit it, give it a thumbs up, give it a like on YouTube, give it a subscribe. If you've not subscribed to the channel already, go ahead and do that for us. That helps us out. And comment those things. We need your help there. Man, we appreciate it. It's been a great ride. We're going to go do DK After Dark, which you can find on the DraftKings YouTube channel, where Pat continues to dish out winners. So we'll see if we can keep that up. Or maybe the prayer of Patrick has transferred over to me, and it's me this time. We shall see. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. May your screens be green and your bets take you to the ticket window with a big fat grin on your face. See ya!